possibility we'll have more next week, but right now, we had more last night, but some of them left after the worship last evening. So there's a couple out there yet this morning. So please, on your way out this morning, take one of the bags and have someone have a happy birthday.
Okay, any other announcements? If not, if you'll all rise, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have acted sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you in our own heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
We continue with the gathering hymn.
Thank you.
Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and it was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, for God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You will tread upon the lion cub and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent. They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. A reading from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So has anyone ever gotten you like really good seats to a sporting event or a concert? Or maybe you were with someone who took you to the front of the waiting line at a restaurant or an amusement park. Or maybe someone got you a popular item that had been sold out of stores for weeks. If you ask them how they did it, they might answer, "I know a guy." Or maybe you've done and said something like that yourself. It gives someone a certain amount of prestige, a sort of social goodwill to say, "I know a guy." Makes it sound like one is moving along the top rungs of society. In our gospel lesson today, it is James and John who want to be on top. They have made a calculation about Jesus. And if he is who they think he is and will do what they think he will do, then they want to make sure that they are seen and chosen as his top followers. This is an astute political calculation, but it is calculating according to how the world operates and not God and God's kingdom operates. We do what we can to work our way up to the top in school, in sports, or in our careers. Again, this is the way the world works, that their in with Jesus will give them a particular kind of glory, that Jesus will glorify them and not the other way around. When I can help someone out because I know a guy, to have access to things that no one else can get, whether that be an appointment or a discount, that brings me some glory among friends, family, and acquaintances. We may love the glory of being able to say, "Let them know that you know me and they'll take care of you." This type of glory seeks to impress. But if we take what James and John are longing for and apply it to how a church would function, it would not be a church with a strong foundation. A church such as this would want to be glorified for their service to the Lord. It would want people to be entertained to ensure they would come back, because the measure of success in such a church is a numbers game. There are, sadly, way too many churches like this, churches that offer Christ without the cross. When a church offers Christ without the cross, you do not get Christianity. You wind up getting a Jesus that gets fashioned in a way that serves a particular agenda in order to glorify its leadership. There definitely is an all-about-me mentality being exhibited with James and John. I mean, look at the question they asked Jesus. To me, it sounds pretty demanding and pretentious. "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you." Where Pastor Adam comes from, he says they call that. But that desire for glory, as understood by the world in which we live, can be a hard desire to fight. When we are consumed with Jesus bringing us worldly glory, we are not focused on giving glory to God. Our focus instead is on how God can glorify us. The spirit of James and John runs deep within our own sinfulness and brokenness. When we chase the perceived glory of the past or future, we are eventually going to be left with an inadequate feeling. We are chasing our tails in our desire to be on top in this world. Not only do we feel inadequate, but there is no foundation for our faith. It is shallow and hollow because the glory we have been chasing and the recognition we desire from others never lasts forever. We can only know so many people to fix our problems or the problems of others, and there are some problems in life that no one can fix. Then what? What then are we left with? Which truly is a paradox, because in God's wisdom, the glory of God is being revealed through the death of Christ on the cross. But that is not how the world defines glory. James and John really don't know what they're asking, because when it comes to Good Friday, do any of us want to be on the right or left of Jesus? The foundation of our faith is built on a Christ who did not come into this world to be served, but to serve. God is not interested in our vanity projects, but invites us into a new life that gives new meaning when we follow the way of Jesus, which is a way of loving and serving others. When we look at this through the lens of the cross, we can have confidence, because we are called to be faithful, not successful. Being part of a new creation in Christ, we are free from feeling the need to chase the glory of a past era or to be at the top of the world. That is where we get into some political limitations with the text. Jesus is ushering in a different kind of kingdom, and Jesus is going to be a different kind of king. James and John, and the rest of the disciples for that matter, want power, and they ultimately want political power in the world to hold it over people. Jesus does not bring about that kingdom or our redemption through power, but through love. Jesus shows us that our social capital is not for the purposes of our glory, but can now be used to serve others in need. These are hard words to hear from Jesus. that we need to become servants and slaves to all. But this is the way of the kingdom, which is different from the kingdoms of the world. Power and competition are set aside because we are transformed by the grace of God, and we see God's glory through love and service, through the theology of the cross. It is good that James and John, the disciples, and us today don't get what we want in longing for glory according to the ways of the world. It is through Jesus, who is the suffering servant, that we get much more than being at his. Through his death and resurrection, we are joined to him. We die and rise with him. In our daily dying and rising, we are called to be servants like Jesus. In the ultimate dying and rising, we are promised to be with God in God's glory now and forever. The good news is that in Christ, we truly do know a guy who raises us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise for the hymn.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God's Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, Son of the Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Set free from sin and death, and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all God's creation. Holy One, for the gift of the Church handed down through the ages and for all who carry on the servant ministry of Jesus, we praise you. Send your Holy Spirit upon all who are discerning calls to ministry in its many forms and equip them with your gifts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ministering One, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. And for all the holy people, all your creatures, we praise you. Provide healing for the earth so that waterfowl, reptiles, wild horses, dolphins, and all living things flourish as you intend. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Suffering on. For all who work toward peace and who lead nations with a servant's heart, we praise you. Bring justice for all who suffer violence, persecution, discrimination, hunger, poverty, and homelessness, and create places of refuge for all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful One, for all who do work of healing in mind, body, and spirit, we praise you. Surround and comfort all who struggle with depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, dementia, or any illness. Especially we pray for Ray, family of Steve Bloomfield, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Timothy, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Eileen, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Grace, Sutton, Noah, Archer, John, Pastor Adam, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19, we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care, that all may be healed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sustaining One, for all who volunteer for the vitality of this congregation, we praise you. Strengthen and encourage greeters, ushers, office volunteers, bakers, counters, committee and group leaders, teachers.
Your mercy is great.
Watchful One, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Risen One, we thank you for those who have shaped your church and shared your gospel. Through the witness of your saints, especially Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, continue to inspire us with hope until we all are gathered at your eternal feast. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and light.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
time we will, for Children's Church, if you'll follow Marshall into the fellowship hall. And then we will continue with the hymn in place of the communion, When Peace Like a River, hymn number 785 in your hymnal. Almighty God,